When Jim got up here and said Isaiah 40, I was like, uh-oh. Okay, hold on there. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am with, excuse me, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for loving us and for demonstrating that love in so many different ways. We pray that as we spend a little time together in your word today, that it might be impactful, might help us as we remember, as we are recharged, and as we continue to live out the life that you've called us to live. Lord, help us to be the men, the women, and the children you've called us to be. Help us to live in such a way that brings glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of y'all like scary movies?
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right. All right. I used to like scary movies. When I was growing up, there was a movie that always scared me. Halloween. You remember Halloween? Now, I went back to watch that movie probably about a few years ago. And I'm looking at this movie and I'm cracking up this time. I'm like laughing, all this stuff. And I'm going, how was I scared with all this? You know, the graphics were horrible. I mean, you know, especially in comparison to what we have now with our 4K and HD and all that. And so the graphics were horrible. The masks, it was a ridiculous mask. I mean, and it wasn't even scary. I mean, looking at it again from my perspective now as an adult and knowing too much now, you know, now being the boring old man now, looking at it going, yeah, how was I even scared of this thing? You know, so some things that would cause you to fear at one point in life, later on, may not have that same effect. Amen? I don't like scary movies anymore, but there are a lot of things that still kind of get me scared, you know, kind of get fear into our lives a little bit. And for some of you, it might be movies. For some of you, it might be a fear of failure. For some of you, it might be fear of getting sick. For some of you, it might be the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen tomorrow? And so me focusing on tomorrow terrorizes me for today. I was also thinking and contemplating on John, the Apostle John. You remember John, he was bold in his proclamation that Jesus is the Son of God. Even so much so, he shared with others, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. And he's bold in that, but then if you remember, he was arrested. You remember he was questioning King Herod's marriage. And now he's being imprisoned now. His head was going to be literally on a plate. He was going to be beheaded. And so as he's in there, you know, there's fear coming upon him. And matter of fact, these are our moments, usually those quiet moments. And you start contemplating and thinking and just really trying to figure things out. And as he's sitting in that confinement, he's doubting Jesus. He's thinking about all the things that have happened thus far. He's thinking about a situation right now, where he is right now. And because of fear, he even throws out this, sends two men out to go talk to Jesus and say, are you the one, or should we wait for another? You know, to be so strong at some point and then look so weak. To be like the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel and all the strength that he had at that moment, and then to see him running away in fear because Jezebel said she was going to have his head on a platter. So now all of a sudden, so fear and faith, a lot of times in our lives, you know, it's like a seesaw. Sometimes we're strong and other times we're weak, and that's why we need to be reminded. This is the only graphic you're going to have up, so I'm going to put that down. I'm just doing that out of habit. But it's the only graphic you're going to have. Don't fear. I'm with you. The Jews at this moment, they were in the threat of exile. All of a sudden, God's hand of protection is coming off of them, and they're going to be subjected to exile and now having other nations over top of them. They've been the strong man on the block, and now all of a sudden, it seems as if their protection is going to be taken off. They feel small, powerless among all these other nations. The other nations seem so big and strong, and so the Lord has to come and has to remind them and has to comfort them and has to allow them to know that, look, first of all, don't fear. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, somebody today might be saying right here, 511 Greenbank Road, on today, well, that was written to them. That was written for their situation. And I'm saying, and I'm in agreement with you, that was written to them, that was written for their situation. But one of the things that I recognize is that God's character remains the same. His love for his people remain the same. And so while he's not necessarily talking to us, we can see that his love, how he loves his people, his love and his concern and his care for his people, which we are now, hello, church to the left, right, front and back of you, which we are now his people, his love and his care and concern is equally with each and every one of us as well. And so as he was encouraging them, look at the words of encouragement he first gives them. He says, do not fear, for I am with you. Fear thrives in the absence of assurance. You ever had one of the those group building moments, and you're standing there, and you're supposed to fall back into someone's arms, right? Why does it make that fearful? Well, there's no assurance that person's gonna catch me, right? And so there's fear. There's a gap there because of that fear. And I'm thinking like in a house. We do a lot of Airbnbs, and there's some times when we go on vacation Airbnb. I'm not familiar with the house that we're in now. You don't know where all the light switches are and all that. And sometimes you have kids and we're all in there. We rent these houses together, families and all that. And I was just thinking of one of the children being in the hallway in the darkness of that night. You know, you ever been somewhere in the darkness in an unfamiliar place and you're just trying to figure out your way? Now imagine making yourself a child like that, right? And you're in this scary new environment and all that. And then all of a sudden, in the darkness, you hear mom or dad's voice. In the darkness, you feel that warm hand. In the darkness, all of a sudden, everything has changed. All of a sudden, you're comforted in the darkness because mom or dad or a confidant is there. See, fear thrives in the absence of assurance. And God is here reminding them, you are not alone. You're not alone. And a lot of times we think, well, I'm in this alone. Nobody can understand and identify with what I'm going through. I'm going through this alone. And so oftentimes God has to assure us over and over again, I'm still there with you. I'm there. I know it's dark, but I'm still with you. God told Moses in Exodus 33:14 that Moses would meet with God face to face, and he'd go into that tent a meeting with him, and he would meet with him. And then in one of the occasions in Exodus 33, he's talking, and Moses is asking, well, who's going to go before us? Who's going to go before us to lead us in that way? And in Exodus 33:14, it says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In other words, wherever you walk,
God is walking. Wherever you are, if you're His, God is with you. And we would go door knocking every now and then. Well, it wasn't every now and then. At that point, it was like almost every weekend. And we would go door knocking. And you remember, sisters, that some of the places we went to, they weren't the nicest places to go to. And there were sometimes people would say, "You going where to knock doors?" "Yeah, we going into the bucket. Yeah, we going in over here. And that's where we'd be in there door knocking. And sometimes people in daylight wouldn't go in there on themselves. Right? I mean, just you wouldn't even ride through some of these neighborhoods. And here we are knocking doors, telling people about Jesus. And every single time, it never failed. I mean, maybe one time I got teased going out there doing one time and the whole time, you know, and all that. Never did I feel threatened. Never did I feel, I mean, there were awkward situations, weird things that have happened and stuff like that. But I always felt God was there with us. We're doing God's work. And even if the worst could happen, I was doing it serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. So God is with us. When we're doing God's work, we have to remember God is with us. Right? We're not alone in this work. He's still right there. And not only is He promising to be with us, He said, "Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you." You know, fear, you get up and you go, I just can't. You know, think about fear of talking, being out on the stage. Oftentimes we'll have this. Sometimes we'll invite someone to get up and say something. And funerals, this happens a lot. You know, someone to get up and thinking they have the strength to be able to, and all of a sudden, I don't have it. And you'll see this happen often. Someone else that knows them and loves them will come up out the audience and just stand beside them. They didn't have to do something great and something grand, but they just came to be beside them. And by being beside them, that itself helped to strengthen and give a little confidence. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, God wants to come and not... Let me throw it like this instead. There are some people that put this thing out that says, "God is my co-pilot," right? And God says, first of all, let's kick that out the way. I'm your pilot, all right? You jump in the next seat. I got this. I got this. God is the pilot. God is the one leading us everywhere we need to be. And we want Him to be there, first of all, right? I want God in that driver's seat. I'm not enough with my own abilities. I'm too weak. I'm too weak to take me where I need to go. And God wants to come along, not just alongside to help us. He wants to come in to drive us, to take us where we need to go, to be there, to be that bridge. And you remember in that poem where the footprints in the sand, He's the one carrying us. He's got you in His hands already. And I know sometimes it feels we have our moments, we feel alone, we feel it's dark, it's confusing. That's exactly what John was going through in jail. It's dark, it's confusing. Sometimes things go against what my intellect tells me. I think it should be this, but however, it looks like things are happening like this. And so we get a little bit confused. And those are the times, get centered, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm just going to follow you. I don't need to know every detail. I don't need to know. I don't have to have every I dotted and every T crossed, as long as I know you. And the Lord says that He will. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I was thinking about Gideon. Gideon thought of himself so low, and his family and his lineage. And he thought of himself the lowest, even in his whole lineage. And God used him and a small group of men to overcome great armies. Why? The power wasn't in them. It wasn't even in Gideon. It wasn't in the little army that he had. The power was always and has always been in God. And in us, it's the battle isn't your bills, the government, the person on the job. The battle isn't your spouse. And, you know, There's a bigger battle going on and all that. And the victor, the victory comes in our relationship with God. I can have victory in my home if I can have victory in my relationship with God. Because I'll be the type of man that I need to be. I'll be the type of leader I need to be for my children and all that. Everything is going to come back to a relationship with God. He will order every area of our life. But we got to let him in to not just be part-time driver, but to get in that pilot seat and really drive. Gideon had to realize this. He had to give up all control and all that. And God used him realizing. You remember, I don't know if you remember this in the story, but God calls him a mighty warrior. God will see things in us we can't see in ourselves. God will develop you into the person that you never thought you could be if you just follow him. You just follow him. He says, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you. God doesn't just tell you to just be strong. He gives you the strength to stand. And that standing is leaning on him for help. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous hands. To uphold means to support, to keep you from falling. His right hand is a symbolism of his power and his authority. He doesn't just strengthen us for the battle. He actively holds us up when we feel we can't go on anymore. I can't do this anymore, Lord. Well, just a little more, just little longer, just a little while longer, just a little while longer. I can't anymore. Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. You know? Depending on God is such an important thing. It's humbling. It develops us in so many different ways. But ultimately, it says, God, you're in charge, and I know it. God, you're in charge, and I know it, and I respect it, and I revere your place and your position and your authority, and I recognize how small I am to you, Lord. God wants to hold us up even in those weak moments, even in the moments when it looks like the storms around are just they're too much. You know, you think of Peter on that water, walking on that water, And as he's looking at the storms and all that, you know, for a while he's locked into Jesus. He's walking on water. He's doing the impossible. And then he begins to look at the storm. Maybe he gets fixated on the storm. I don't know. Maybe he got so locked into the storm he couldn't see Jesus. I don't know. But whatever it was, it took his attention off of Jesus. Maybe he was there so long that all of a sudden he just starts sinking. And the wonderful part about it is Jesus reaches his hand back out even after he's sinking. The Lord's not going to let us drown, even if we begin to sink. God only wants the best for us, even if the moment is scary. See, because I just believe that was a scary moment that taught Peter a whole lot of stuff on that day. I believe that whenever he looked at water again, he looked at water just a little bit differently, amen? And there's a lesson that's probably been replayed in his mind over and over and over again as he sees these storms starting to form once again. See, God takes us through some storms. He takes us to some storms. He takes us through some storms. He's going to take us to some storms. He's going to take us through some storms. He's going to take us to some storms. He's going to take us through some storms. Am I a record? I'm going to say it again. He's going to take us to some storms. He's going to take us through some storms. And then getting through the storm, you can remember who took you through the storms. As you get outside of the storm, you're going to remember who was took you to it and through it. And when you get to your next storm, you're going to remember who took you through it. He took me to it. He took me through it. If I'm here again, he'll take me to it. He'll take me through it until this cycle is going to be repeated. That's why he's like, man, that sounds like a sermon you preached before. It probably is. I'm going to repeat it over and over again. Amen. We're preparing for this day that's coming. It's not today. All right? It's not today. But that day that's coming, we're preparing for that right now. God wants to come into your life first and foremost. If there's someone here that does not know the Lord and doesn't have a saving relationship with God, if this were my last sermon to preach to you today, I would say, hurry up, get your life in his hands as quick as possible. Now, let me say this again. Hurry up and get your life in his hands as quick as possible. What I didn't say is fix yourself all up. What I didn't say was just make sure you quit everything, all the wrong and all the... I want you to do that. Don't get me wrong. But first, I want you to decide, I want to put my life in his hands and allow him to clean me up. See, there's a difference. We go to the doctor. I didn't go and study 8 years or 10 years of school and all that stuff. So I just kind of have to have a little confidence in what they say sometimes. So it'd be foolish for me to go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, this is my problem. This is how I think you ought to fix it. Right? And it's the same thing. We identify we have a problem. We have a problem with sin. We have a problem with sin. And in order for me to get that resolved, I've got to go to a problem solver. And this problem solver's name is Jesus. Right? And one of the things Jesus wants to do is he wants to make an assessment. Right? He's gonna look and he's gonna make an assessment and then he's gonna give me a prescription. Right? And that's what I want, and that's what we want. Lord, we're sick with this thing called sin. Sin is so sick that it separates us from you. Sin is so sick that if it separates us from you, that means when we die, we'll be separated from you forevermore. I'm just gonna make it as simple as possible, right? We'll be separated from you forevermore, Lord. So we need something. We need a bridge. We need a connector. And there's the connector right there at the cross. The cross, the connecting man and God and sin to come and to join us all back together, right? God is on one side, man is on, and sin is coming, put separation between us. But Jesus comes.